Please be seated. Our sermon scripture this morning is from Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12 and ending in chapter 4, verse 1. I will be reading from the NIV version this morning. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is in the stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for this morning. I give you the thanks to hear your word. We pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit may fall upon us, may rain down from heaven. May we be transformed, regenerated, renewed in your love and passion. And may we go out from this place, as has been prayed before, as new people, doing bigger and better things for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as many of you know, I do a lot of things kind of backwards. Sometimes I do them inside out. Sometimes I do them upside down. And so today I am doing this scripture backwards. So I'm going to ask you to stick with me. I'm going to start by reading chapter 4, verse 1, and going up to chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. So if you can stay with me, that's fantastic. If not, just listen. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Join with others in following my example. And take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And so as I start this sermon in the Baptist style from the bottom up, I ask us to start here by pondering a few things. I think we have to ponder the question from these verses, How are we standing firm? How are we standing firm in a world that is suffering and broken? How are we, you and I, who call ourselves Christians, standing firm in a world that is trying to change us? How are we standing firm to change the world? We can tell ourselves that we're reading Scripture and that we're praying for hours every week. But we have to say, when we leave these doors, are we standing for what we believe in? When we're faced with society's pressures, are we standing for what we believe in? Are we standing for anything at all? Or are we falling for everything that everyone has to offer us? Join with others in following my examples, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Stand firm in the Lord, dear friends, and take note of the example that has been set for us. We have to ponder the thought that everyone is not like us. Shocking news. I know that this is hard to believe. I know I walk around believing that everyone is just like me. Or at least they should be just like me. Right? I know. But there are people walking around this world whose destiny is destruction, their God is in their stomach, and their glory is in shame. These are the people that are going to hell. The people that have not placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Their destiny is destruction. They are not like you and me. There are people walking around this world that do not have the same thing that you and I have. But I have to ponder that everyone not being like us means that we must be called into action. That everyone is not like us and have not received Jesus Christ. And then we have to ask ourselves, we have to ponder, what am I going to do about it? The scripture says that we eagerly await. That doesn't mean we eagerly await by sitting in the pew and thinking everything's going to get done. We're eagerly awaiting the second coming of Jesus Christ, but in the meantime, we've got work to do. We have work to do that says you and I, who have received the grace and mercy of the saving love of Jesus Christ for eternal life, we need to share it. We need to share it by standing firm in everything that we believe in. We can't be swayed by society to believe that some of these things may be good. That money, that sex, that drugs, the list may go on, may be good for you. They'll make you happy. You'll be wealthy. Live in a mansion. But the destiny is destruction. Your God is in the stomach, and the glory is in shame. You see, friends, if we're asking ourselves, if everyone is not like us, what am I to do? We are to take note of those living an example of sharing Jesus Christ with others and follow and do the same. Join with others in following the example and take note according to the pattern we gave you. There's a pattern here that says worship together, break bread together, and pray together. And then go out to make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Lord. If we're wondering why everyone isn't like us, it's because we haven't done anything about it. We are called to action. So we're going to continue on our backwards journey and look at verses 15 and 16. All of us who are mature should take a view of things And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. So through these verses, I think we're being told to plan. We've pondered, and now we're planning. We need to take an inventory of our faith. If we've come to church every morning for the past, let's say 45 years, whatever it is for you, you've come into church every week. And you've heard the pastor preach. We've gone through the prayers. We've sung the hymns. We've given our offering. We take communion and we go home. And if when we leave these doors we are no different than when we came in, we have to make a new plan. If you have sat here for 45 years and have not truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not bowed before his throne and turned over your entire life, take an inventory of your faith. Make a plan. Meet with the pastor. Be baptized. Because if, in fact, we are going to persuade others to be like us, we, in fact, have to have a true identity of who we are. We need to plan by taking an inventory of our families. We have people that we sit next to at dinner, on Thanksgiving, Easter, Christmas, whenever it is, that have not heard the gospel. They're the easiest people to speak to because they're a captive audience. And yet we have done nothing about it. It's a tough conversation, I get it. But we have to take an inventory of our very own families. It says, take a view of such things. Take a look at your very own life. What's happening? Are you growing? Are you sharing the faith that Jesus Christ has called you to? And when you've done such a thing, you can know that you can plan on something completely different happening. You have to plan on everything not being the same any longer. And just as every person is not the same, our thoughts within ourselves do not stay the same. Many of you know I had a surgery back in September in which I thought everything was great. I felt pretty good. My arm stopped hurting. My neck was feeling pretty good post-surgery. I thought I was on even, easy street to recovery. I should have remembered that I should plan on something different happening. Within 6 weeks, I was back in, having an additional surgery to correct something in which there was complications. To this day, my arm still hurts. I am exhausted at most times during the day, and yet I know that God is doing something great in my life. I know that God has to be working something out through this because, gosh, this is crazy. Because I planned on being well. I planned on having this energy and no pain and strength and everything being great, and something different has happened. But we have to plan on it. But here's the good news, friends. The scripture says, plan on it being okay. God will make everything clear. I don't see it yet. I don't see what God's plan is for my life completely. I don't see why my eye droops and my arm hurts and I'm tired. I don't get it. It freaks me out a little bit. But God's going to make it clear to me. And if there's something in your life that's freaking you out, you just don't understand, just know that it's going to be okay. that God will make it clear that He is in control. And it may not feel right to us. But then again, it may not be about us. Can you hear that word? These things might not feel right to you and me. But this isn't about you and me. This is about Jesus Christ. That God is in control and it is okay. But we have to plan again to live up to it all. We have to plan to live up to everything that we have already attained. What is that in your life? What is it that you have attained from God and you need to live up to? He set a high bar for each and every one of us, but we're called to live up to it. What is God speaking into your life at this very moment? When Elizabeth asked you to stop and think about what you could do this week to increase your witness to this world, what did God speak into your life? What is God placing right in front of you? It smacks you in the head, it's so close. Let us live up to that which we have already attained. What are the gifts that God has blessed you with, and what have you attained, and how are you going to live up to it? As we press on in verses 12 through 14, let us read, "Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." We need to press on. We don't have it all going on. We are not perfect, but take hold and press on, because God has something great going on in this world. God has something great going on right here at First Baptist. God is good all of the time. So press on when you find difficulties in your life. Press on when society presses on you. Press on, dear friends. Well, just because it's warm in here and it's how I do things, we're going to play a little game. Aren't you excited? Amen. You all remember how we play red light, green light?
No.
You've never played red light, green light?
I don't remember how it goes.
Okay. Well, we're not really playing the running red light, green light, because we don't have enough room. But red light, green light is where children normally would line up on one line. And then there'd be the stoplight person on the other line at the end. And the calling person who's on this end calls out green light or red light. On the green light, you
run.
Go.
Go.
Run. And when you say red light, you stop. But if you keep moving ahead, you're out of the game.
Okay?
Red light, green light. You guys remember, right? So we're going to do it in the sitting version. Okay? Betsy, you can do one hand, but the rest of us are doing two hands.
All right.
Green light. Come on. Come on. I'm waiting till everyone's playing, so. Green light. Red light. Okay, if you kept going, you have to put your arms down. It's okay. It's embarrassing. Red light. Oh, those of you that went. Thank you. Green light. Red light. Green light. Red light. Red light. Green light. Red light. Good job. idea when we see a red light is to stop. We learn it from a young age while we ride in the car. We learn it when our parents tell us to stop. We better stop. Because someone has told us to do it, or something is telling us to do it, or we tell ourselves we must stop. But the fact is, there are times in our lives where we're seeing red, and in fact, God is saying, green light, go. There are scary things in this world that keep us from going on the green light and staying right where we are. There are things in this world, in our lives, there's fear. There's ego. There's society that tells us, stop. When God is saying, press on and go. We play this red light, green light game with ourselves all of the time, when in fact God is saying, go, 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 press on. We have to forget about all of the stuff that's behind us, Scripture tells us, and press on. We have got to press on because all that we are eagerly awaiting is the return of Jesus the Christ. We have got to press on because the prize is heaven. Until we are there, we are not finished. So we have to ask ourselves to ponder, plan, and press on. Ponder, plan, and press on. So I realize many things. I realize that I am not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I must press on. I realize that what I thought at one point in my ministry may look different now than it did the day I became the minister of Christian education here many years ago. But I must press on. I realize that I must take note of those who follow a godly example and press on. And when for me as a pastor and you as a congregation may feel that there is a red light in front of us, we must respond to the green light that God is calling us to move ahead. And as I read these words to you today, I share with you a letter I have submitted to the executive board and now submit to you. To the members and congregation of the First Baptist Church of Haddonfield, I would like to inform you that effective September 1st, 2013, I will be resigning as your assistant pastor. I have been offered a full-time position with the American Baptist Churches of New Jersey as your associate regional pastor. While I submit this resignation with mixed emotions of joy and sadness, I fully know that God is in control. The calling that God has placed upon my life has outgrown the position of assistant pastor. And to be true and faithful to his calling on my life, I would ask that this congregation would fully support sending me out into the mission field of New Jersey and think of me as your newest missionary into an ever-expanding mission field, which is the region of New Jersey. As many of you know, as an adult, I grew up in this church, both mentally and spiritually. I walked into this church as a very young mother with very little faith. And with the support of Pastor Michael and of this congregation, I grew from a youth group volunteer to a deacon, to the Sunday school superintendent, to the Board of Christian Education chairperson, to the Minister of Christian Education, and finally to the assistant pastor. I am blessed by the support and prayers that this congregation has offered for my ministry, and I will be forever grateful for the growth experiences that this congregation and staff afforded to me each and every step along my journey. God is doing great work in both my life and the life of this congregation. I can fully see that the budget at FBC Haddonfield needed a drastic adjustment to sustain itself into the future. I could also fully see that I had outgrown my own position. As I prayed about how to successfully work out both of these situations, God opened the door for both of us. By me accepting this position with ABCNJ, it takes the budget pressures off of FBC Haddonfield and allows me to continue to grow as your missionary in the new field of regional ministry. Over the next couple of months, it will be a great time of transition. However, as I always have been, I am committed to doing my best to see that we reach higher, dig deeper, and try harder to further the ministry and mission of this church. With that being said, we have some big tasks to accomplish, such as a mission trip to restore the shore, the Sun West Vacation Bible School, and preparation for the fall season. I'm excited for this summer to take shape and to continue to pour out my heart and soul into doing God's work here at FBC. As we enter into this transition, if you have any questions or concerns, please do not hesitate to contact me. And please remember, this is not goodbye. This is see you soon. As I fully expect many invitations to fill your pulpit and to receive other invitations to be your guest at special occasions, your current assistant pastor and future missionary. Thank you.